come back, come back. You won't really like Ligue 1 weekly. I mean, one thing you can always say about La Liga is that the championship race is wide open. Who needs big stars when you've got robust wage restrictions, as we've always said? Yes, La Liga is ready to move on from Messi, pat him on the back and wish him farewell. And if you believe that, you might even believe that PSG did a few calculations and worked out that they had enough money spared in their budget not to break FFP. The blokes on £1 million a week, they had that spare, did they? They hadn't spent that on Ramos and Donnarumma and Wijnaldum. Seems fair enough and above board to me. Actually, there are plenty of people ready to move on from Messi and think that Barcelona deserve everything they're getting, although it does seem that La Liga's FFP rules have allowed an incompetent president to plunge a club deep into the mire and then kick away the ladder so they can't even sign the players that they've already got. Is Aguero being paid, for example? If he is, then how does FFP save the club finances? All of which nonsense has reduced La Liga to the pitiful state where the seventh best team can't even beat Chelsea on penalties. Yes, we start back tonight. Bordalas with the mighty Valencia against that pitiful non-entity of a club, Getafe. See, there's plenty to fall out about. Thank you to the Patreons, including the new ones, such as Roger and Fionn and Ed and Jordan and Daniel and Abjit, and to Rob Palmer, who's spending approximately £2.50 a month of his new $1 million deal with ESPN, listening to our extra podcast, which will be back late next week. No one so far has left grieving over Messi and abandoning La Liga weekly. It's patreon.com. The Joaquins are the latest and most bargainist category, so come along, everybody, and join us. Terry Gibson is back with La Liga TV for another season, hired for his uncanny ability to spell the names of footballers. Yes, I'm referring to the latest La Liga TV promo. Did anyone else smell a hasty last-minute edit as the Barcelona team sheet rolls out? Where was it going next? Thank you to everybody so far who's joined in on Twitter or the Patreon. Two ways of getting in touch. So it's at Driscoll FC, Terry Gibson 88, and at La Liga_weekly. If you want to send us your predictions, this is for the Patreons. This is the scientific way that I compile it. So names across the top there. And everybody, just send us your 1 to 20, where everybody is going to finish in La Liga. Terry's had a go as well, but we'll reveal his slowly as we preview this weekend. An intriguing season. You know, exciting. It's, you know, who wants exciting? What we want is solid financial management. but we can't let's deal with Messi, because last time we spoke he was definitely leaving Barca. Possibly I think we all knew he was going to PSG, didn't we? He's gone to PSG. It doesn't make any sense that they can pass their financial fair play with UEFA, but they will, because that seems to be it, doesn't it? They seem to be able to slalom through UEFA's lawyers, like Messi slaloming through Athletic defenders at the cup final a few years ago. So Messi gone. What's your last thoughts on the saga, on how it's all panned out, on the mess that Barcelona have got themselves into?
Well, I think that's ultimately is that last Thursday, wasn't it, when the rumours, the stories, the allegations were that his father, I think, in fact, was on his way to meet with Laporta to confirm the deal that had been agreed. And then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose, where within hours, Barcelona issued a statement saying that Messi had left. I found it hard to believe, because it came as such a shock, because we've been led to believe that everything was okay and he was going to be able to agree a deal, where, albeit he was taking a huge reduction in salary, but we know the circumstances, it was going to be paid over 5 years instead of two or three. We all got that. And then suddenly the rug was pulled from beneath him and it was clear he was going to go. I have to be honest, even until he signed for PSG, I still was wondering, is there a twist in this? My prediction now is it's effectively a two-year loan.
And then we're back at Barca.
Yes, that's what I believe.
If Barca may
he will finish his career without ever going back to Barcelona and doing the farewells that he should have had.
If Bartomeu was in charge, he would put in a €100 million yeah, bid for him 6 months from the end of his contract. Yeah.
So I think it's almost like a two-year loan, where he's going to go and play without the distractions of what he's doing to a club that's, you know, in financial difficulty. I think he's still young enough and good enough to go and play for a team that's competitive, that has some sort of idea where it's going, irrespective of what we all think about FFP. And I think that one day he'll be back at Barcelona when the time's right in 2 years' time to say his farewells. He can't leave Barcelona after 17 years playing first-team football, losing to Celta Vigo at home and trudging off on the back of a 2-1 defeat. So maybe it's just me being fanciful, but I think that's...
it might happen. It might happen. Yeah. Although players' careers end like that, don't they? Usually. Yeah. You know, I know Zidane headbutted Materazzi and walked off in the World Cup final. but most players, it's over at some point, and you don't quite know that that's the end. And I suppose not for a player of Messi's stature, you normally know it's the end. But we don't know when it's the end. It could be back, like you said, could be back in La Liga, could be back anywhere.
We move on.
We do. So we've got a load of fixtures to preview for the weekend. We've talked a lot about Barcelona. We'll get back to their preview.
Can I just say one thing? Your comment about Kepa Arrizabalaga. You were the only person that mentioned that Chelsea are willing to pay £72 million for a fella to come on. And I'm listening to the pundits on BT Sport and they're saying, oh, it's really, it's a good idea. It's a great, what, to have a £72 million goalkeeper just play, come on as a sub in the odd cup match that might go to penalties? Incredible. We talk about financial fair play, but it's getting out of hand at the moment. PSG appear to be the only club that outside of the Premier League. We're meant to be in this pandemic and this COVID situation where teams haven't had supporters in the stadium for 18 months. So I understand in La Liga, understanding with other clubs in other leagues in Europe, why they are suffering, to be perfectly honest. I mean, you haven't got paying customers coming into the stadium. Let's take Real Madrid and Barcelona, for instance. Average, 70,000 a week? They're paying the money, the income that's generated from that. They haven't had that for 18 months. Yet PSG and the Premier League clubs, it's as if it didn't exist in the Premier League, this vacuum of 18 months without players. The overinflated transfer fees that clubs are still willing to pay is phenomenal. I think it's PSG. I think the Premier League clubs, we're banding about 50 million here and 50 million there and 100 million here. And it's incredible. I must admit, it's taken me by surprise. I think clubs would have cut their cloth accordingly because they have to, and also because of financial regulations. But it appears that, you know, somehow, you know, certain clubs, can just continue as if without care in the world because money isn't an option. And taking the mickey out of Kepa at Arrizabalaga, it's £72 million for a goalkeeper that's going to be a specialist penalty saver in the odd cup match, which you don't get many in a year.
Nope. You know,
regular season, he's going to be sitting on the bench, not doing anything in league matches, Champions League group stages, they don't go to penalties. He'd be lucky if he gets two or three appearances this season as that position. I'm not saying he won't play as a regular goalkeeper, but you know, it's absolutely.
And you've got these guys now, Kepa being probably the prime example, who just can't be sold, haven't you? Like the 10 players at PSG, where are they going? Who's got the money to buy them? Unless it's one of the, you know, unless Spurs or so, you know, Spurs sell Harry Kane, it might get some more knock-on effects of that, but there aren't many clubs, aren't there, that are able to be paying that kind of money. So you can't move someone on, can you? So, like you said, Kepa, it's trapped, isn't he? 72 million quid, huge wages.
Probably eventually leave in a free transfer.
Rather like Ousmane Dembele. I can't see any way out for Dembele, for example, back to Barca, other than him leaving on a free, you know, in 12 months from now. Just can't.
Yeah, I think Paul Pogba is similar as well at United. Having let him go on a free, then spend 80, 90 million getting him back and going to lose him on a free again, possibly lose him on a free transfer again. It's, we kind of look at La Liga. It's getting criticism because Real Madrid are not buying Galacticos, Barcelona have got their problems, and, you know, massive signings are not coming into La Liga. There is a perfectly good reason for this. For 18 months, they've had no supporters. I don't know what income that generates for a Barcelona, for a Real Madrid, for Atletico Madrid, for Sevilla, where you've got 40,000 people. I don't know. I couldn't work out. I can't compute the what that generates in terms of ticket sales, in terms of merchandise, in terms of, you know, people buying refreshments at the stadium. I have no idea.
So with the Premier League, obviously the TV money is far more than the gate revenue. I think in La Liga, for most clubs, it would be somewhere reasonably even. I would say that, because the TV deal isn't as well negotiated. I don't know if it's, yeah, but if someone knows that better. But I believe, from what I can remember, gate revenue is lower than TV, considerably lower for the clubs in the Champions League and in the Premier League.
Yeah, it's interesting to see. Certain clubs around, I mean, we're talking, you know, Bayern Munich haven't spent an awful lot of money, Juventus and other teams around Europe, big clubs, which kind of leads me to another rant. I'm going down rant street now about these Messi, you know, leaving. That's what I actually prefer what Rafael Varane has done. If I was a big player that wasn't relying on money, I would want to go to one of the historic football clubs in the world. So that isn't, unfortunately, this might upset one or two people, that isn't PSG. It isn't Manchester City. It's Manchester United. It's Juventus. It's Bayern Munich. It's AC Milan. It's Liverpool. So Rafael Varane has decided he wants a new challenge. He's gone to Manchester United. Manchester City, you know, Chelsea are getting there, but it's. I'm talking about one of the historic, iconic football clubs in world football. So I kind of, you know, surprised. I know that we've got PSG, Man City and Chelsea who've got money now, big money. But, you know, a challenge at Bayern Munich or a challenge at Juventus or in AC Milan, Inter Milan would be, I would think, should be more preferable. We're talking 100 years of history with these clubs.
It was done...
Not 10, 15.
It was done quickly, wasn't it, for Messi to go to PSG? I know we've ended up...
He didn't have many options.
See, I tell you what, the conversation about Messi is like a mate who split up with his girlfriend who keeps saying, yeah, I've moved on. And then you realise you're back on the conversation again. Here we are. I think we're Messi, right?
Atletico Madrid had a little... try as well.
But it was done quickly, wasn't it, for him to go to PSG? Considering how long normally a saga for a player to leave. I mean, has Varane signed yet? You know, how long it takes to do a deal normally.
And he's in isolation, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know how that's working.
Messi is there with Harry Kane. And it's done so quickly. I mean, Messi is... I've got a lot... Obviously, I love Messi as a footballer. He's a family man. He loves his family, as you saw from the interview. Doesn't give a lot of thought to anything else, does he? So basically, the tax business that he got into was just him. Someone just handed him, handed him the form, signed the forms, didn't give any thought to it. I don't think he gives much thought to the history of PSG, to where their money comes from, to how it affects the game, to the fossil fuel industry. I don't think Messi's... You know, Messi's not thinking about any of these things, is he?
I don't think he had many options, did he?
Did he speak to Man City? Would have been more interesting to see him playing in the Premier League than playing in Liga, I would have thought. I know they didn't win the league last season, PSG, but how did they not win the league? Given what they've got there. It would have been more interesting with him at Man City, wouldn't it? It would have been fascinating. But maybe City... had to work out the financial aspects of it. I mean, City have obviously got some money because they're still trying to sign Harry Kane. So it was done very quickly and without a lot of thought for him to go to PSG. But there you go. Right, Valencia.
The last time we mentioned Messi on the podcast?
Yes. Until we get drunk, sitting there late at night drinking
until
whiskey.
Until Barcelona lose 3-0 at home to someone, and we say, "See, they should never have got rid of Messi."
Yes. So Valencia Getafe, Terry, as you know, that's the what strikes me. But I know they've got a new manager, Valencia. I think Gamero's gone, and nothing's happened, has it? Valencia normally chaos at Valencia. So it's actually, I know they've got no money to rebuild, but almost everyone else has been dragged down to their level of having no money, and could actually work out all right for them, couldn't it? A little bit of normality for a while.
I have my doubts. I have to be honest. I think they're in for my opinion. I think they're in for a struggle. I went to watch them last week at Brentford. and it didn't look good. I have to be honest. There's a mixture. It's a weird mix at the moment. Either with Bordeles, I mean, ironically, playing against Getafe, who've gone for a completely different manager in Michel. So it's going to be interesting to see, with pretty much the same group of players, how he adapts and makes them change their style of play, or whether he's wise enough to think, I don't want to do it too quick, too soon. We'll have, you know, slight changes. But I, you know, if you run the, if you do that risk with Getafe, you run the risk of getting relegated. So I think you've got to, it's got to be a gradual process. What I saw with Valencia last week, it didn't resemble anything like a Bordeles team. They got away with murder in terms of gifting a goal to Brentford, which surprisingly, pre-season friendly had VAR.
Really?
Everybody's right, okay. Surprised. You know, Brentford's, it was in the early minutes of the game, and Valencia, from the goalkeeper, Christian Rivero, not Cillessen, not Dominic, passed it out. The two centre-backs split, and they decided to play three consecutive passes across their own six-yard box. Yeah, and one of them got a deflection into a Brentford player who scored a goal. On VAR, the deflection went to a player who was just slightly ahead of the ball. So Valencia got away with that.
How do you know that? Were you seeing this on the screen, or were you in the press box?
Screen above the main stand.
Right.
I have to say, to Brentford, possibly the worst scouting ticket I've ever had in my life. It was behind the corner flag at the back of the stand. Right, so watching the play at the other end of the pitch was non-existent. But I have to be honest, it was a really good experience, new stadium. Incredible how they've managed to squeeze it into that little area, and the crowd really enthusiastic. Brentford look a decent team. I would imagine they're going to have fun this season. So, but for Valencia, obviously La Liga podcast, it caught up in between two stalls. So he's not going to get new players that he wants to play his style, and I'm not sure if he can work with the players that he's got, if they continue to play in a sort of in a grey area where they're not dynamic, they're not direct, or they're not particularly good at, or they get caught between, they're not particularly good at playing out the back. They're very young. Ironically, with the younger team that started, they were 1-0 up, and then Cheryshev, Maxi Gomez, Guedes, Paulista came on and they lost 2-1. What we can take from that, I don't know, but I think it's going to be tough this year for Bordeles. I mean, he would want Maximovic, Aaron Bari. He would love to have them into a midfield. And they're good enough to play for Valencia easily. He would like Cucurella still to be running up and down the left. He's good enough to play Valencia. So, you know, when you look at the players that are going to be available to him for Valencia, it's going to be interesting, and you know, to see how he does. My prediction is that they're going to be in for a struggle.
It'd be interesting to see, wouldn't it, what's going to happen, because we're asking for these predictions. So send us your 1 to 20. Everyone so far has got Valencia between 7th and 12th, I think. So everyone is saying mid-table. Mm-hmm. Be interesting to see, because obviously the obvious difficulty in doing it now is that it's still transfer business to be done, isn't it? So are we talking about a lot of loans going to happen? Are we talking about nothing that's going to happen? Or with this venture capitalist money, are teams going to be doing a little bit of business? Are they waiting? So what's happened so far is that 17 of the 20 clubs in La Liga have taken the money. So the ones who aren't are Real Madrid, Barcelona and Athletic, which makes a lot of sense, that because Athletic aren't ever in need of desperate short-term money, are they, because of the way they operate? They're shielded from the worst madness of the transfer
madness
market.
Yep.
Yeah. So
and an unnamed second division team.
Yeah, which is intriguing, isn't it? So and the more I read about it, the more I think those clubs, the dissenters, are actually wise, because it's a long time of giving away a lot of your TV money, isn't it?
Yes.
So are we suddenly going to see, because let's say Cadiz versus Levante, Mallorca versus Betis, are these teams going to be doing some business, or what's happening? I know they can only spend 15% of this money on transfers. Are they all waiting for that? Is that happening? Have we got this big transfer market ready to go? I think so.
Yeah, I think so. But I don't think they'll be splashing huge sums of money. I think what I can understand from the transfer market is that there'll be a massive influx of loan players. throughout Europe. I think because clubs, what I've come to learn is that they're all waiting for the best option, so they don't make up their mind. And they're waiting for to see how the season starts, to see if there's injuries, teams that have a bad start. So, you know, I'm there are clubs in the Premier League, for instance, that will have lots of good young players that clubs in Spain would like on loan, but they're all the clubs in the Premier League are quite content to sit back and wait for the best offer. Now, the best offer means a club like that would pay all the wages of a loan deal rather than 50%, you know, and so it's, I do think there's going to be a lot of action in the transfer market, but I still don't imagine clubs like Cadiz and Levante and, you know, Alaves spending huge sums of money. And that would be daft, wouldn't it? So I think that, you know, if you've got a plan, stick to it. Don't go out and spend 30, 40 million in a couple of weeks just because you can. So I think that the loan system will go crazy, because in some of these cases the clubs would rather sell the player, so they're hanging on for waiting for someone to come in and purchase that player. The club that wants the player is sitting there waiting, thinking, no, if we hang on, they'll bluff, you know, we call their bluff, and you know, perhaps no one else wants him, and we can compete and we can get a player on loan for half his wages, you know. So I think there's a lot of action to be done, but it is kind of weird. I'm in the camp where I think all transfer windows should be closed before the season starts.
Right, yeah.
I do think we had that year, didn't we? Was it 2 years in the Premier League where we stopped it? But the Premier League was at a disadvantage then, because, you know, clubs around Europe could come and still take your players. And it didn't solve the problem of Chelsea, for instance, who have got loads of players that go out on loan and they're still sitting there and the season started. And they're waiting, you know, with their bags packed, waiting to go off to different parts of Europe. So I still think that's the better idea, to have the transfer window shut.
If I could change one thing, I'd change the number of loans you're allowed to, how many players you're allowed to keep and loan out. I think it's wrong what Chelsea do. And it's not just Chelsea, but they're the best at it in a way, aren't they? Just too many clubs. There are whole players whose whole careers, who we've barely never heard of, because they're sitting in, you know, playing for Man United under 23s, being paid 50 grand a week or something. Yeah, I think it's just insane. I think it's, you know, it's allowed to operate anyway.
And players do go from country to country whilst on a 5-year contract at a club, and never play for that club, barely ever play for that club, apart from pre-season friendlies when they're making up the numbers. And this is the only time you ever see some of these players play for their clubs. So I think it's going to be interesting tonight with the Valencia games. The transfer market's going to be interesting. And let's not forget, we've got players playing. Pau Torres played in the Olympic finals last weekend, and then played in the Super Cup final on Wednesday. It's at some stage, and the obvious one we're going to have to discuss would be Pedri.
Yeah, that lazy dog.
That type of start to the season where I don't know who's going to be playing for these teams at the weekend, either in La Liga or the Premier League. I don't know whether players that have come back from the Copa America or the European Championships, how much training they've had. Are they really ready, or are managers going to be patient and say, no, let's not rush it. We can do without you for a couple of weeks, you know, on the bench. Let's build up some, you know, pre-season stuff to make sure we avoid, you know, an injury or two during the season. It will be really untidy. And the secret, as I've said before, in certain years, is to avoid. You want to still be in the hunt for the title if that's what you're doing at Christmas. I know Christmas seems a long way away. Trust me, it's not. We're talking, 10, 15 league games.
Depressing thought.
I know. 10, 15 league games that might be decisive, that if you slip up because, you know, you had this untidy start to the season where teams are playing pre-season friendlies with half their team. Yeah. You know, Valencia last week, for instance, half their team were missing for one reason or another. So it's going to be an interesting
I would argue this is less of an issue than it was a few years ago when Real Madrid and Barcelona were so dominant that you were looking at high 90s, 100-point season. Starting badly could kill you off, couldn't it? I don't think we're looking at that this season, are we? We're not looking at that higher points tally, are we?
The top four, I think, have all got the same problems this summer.
Yeah.
They've all got players that have been away in the Olympics, the European Championships, the Copa America. So it's going to be interesting to see the depth of squads and the consistency. The Atletico Sevilla will be in a good position, I think, because they've had less dramatic summers than Barcelona and Real Madrid. So in terms of the title fight, I think it's safe to say those four are the obvious contenders. And it's going to be interesting to see come Christmas if there's an advantage such as Atletico had last season.
Right, let's do... So Saturday's big game, Alaves Real Madrid, I think it's fair to say, isn't it? I think we're looking at a few, funnily enough, a few injuries for Real Madrid. But I think I've said this previously, probably they haven't had anything like the publicity that Barca have had, probably a good thing this summer, the way it's gone. So intriguing, isn't it, Real Madrid this season? New manager, not new signings, but so many signings that we're waiting to see what their loan returns. Hazard as well, who, a fit Hazard could change everything, couldn't it? There are so many players in there for Real Madrid whose careers are really on a knife edge. And it's fascinating.
Benzema, Bale, Hazard, from three.
Yeah.
Firing on all cylinders, title winners.
Yeah.
Champions League contenders.
Yeah.
You know, they're a million miles away, would they? If they're all fit and playing well. And let's not forget, Gareth Bale made playing football look easy last year for Spurs. Mm. 16 goals in the blink of an eye. He was playing 1 minute, not playing the next, different, both managers. The issue is surrounding his ability to play every 3 or 4 days. I don't know whether that's true or not. We kept seeing it, didn't we? He played, so he can't play Wednesday. He can't do it. He's 32. He's only just 32. It's all or nothing now for Gareth Bell. You know, he's got to be available as much as possible. He can't be going down this road of, he played Sunday, which means he can't play Wednesday. You know, it's got to be all or nothing. Hazard, if he's fit. I saw enough signs at the end of last season and in the European Championships that Hazard is still capable of being the player Real Madrid thought he was going to be. Benzema, can he have the season he had last year? I would imagine so. So, you know, it's in this game in particular, Alaves against Real Madrid. Alaves haven't had the issues of players being away at the Olympics, being away in the European Championships, being away at the Copa America. They've had a proper pre-season and they'll be playing against a Real Madrid team. We have no idea. We kind of assume it's going to be something similar to what we were seeing from Zidane. We could pick that team. Well, those players are still there, but we wait to see the system from Ancelotti. Which players he puts his faith in, which players he thinks are ready at this moment in time because of the weird pre-season that they've had. So I think this has the potential for me as a bit of a slip-up, a banana skin for Real Madrid because of the way the pre-season preparations have gone for either team. I would expect Alaves to be the better prepared against Real Madrid, who have the better players. It's a difficult one to call, actually.
So we've got Osasuna, Espanyol. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get your 20. We'll wrap up all the teams in that. And then Sunday, I think it's right, Celta versus Atletico is Sunday, isn't it? Atletico, just looking at how many have we had there? 1, 2, 3. We've had like 10, 12 of these in so far. Atletico, hands down, title favourites, according to what we've had in so far. Does that seem reasonable? Rafa Mir on his way? He hasn't signed, I don't think, as we talk.
No, Wolves have made, they've made it public that there is a deal being done. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't go there. I don't know what the price is. I think I read something like 15 million. From backup striker that's happy to be playing for Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
That's not going to rock the boat if he's not playing every game. It would be a great place for him to learn because of being behind Luis Suarez. I think it'd be an ideal signing. You don't want to go and spend 50, 60 million pounds on another striker who gets the every time he's not starting. So I think that's my one area of the pitch for Atletico where there is a little doubt that I don't know whether Suarez can be as good as he was last season. He had that fire in his belly from leaving Barcelona. Fitness-wise, I think the second half of the season was a struggle for him. And then, of course, they got João Félix, who the season started brightly, but his influence certainly wasn't there in the second half of the season. If he can be the player we hope he can be, then Atletico, they clearly, in my opinion, the less dramatic summer, new deal for Simeone, Jose Maria Jimenez signed a new contract as well. Kieran Trippier is still there. So I think it's common sense that Atletico Madrid, title winners last year, should be favourites for this season. Hence, I've gone them top of the league as well.
Yeah.
After all that, I could imagine if I'd said, so I've got them finishing fourth. No, I think they're there to be beaten again this year.
Sevilla, because obviously there's Barca's Real Sociedad. We'll get on to who's playing in that game in a bit. Sevilla versus Rayo Vallecano. So I think Rayo Vallecano are the most commonly predicted bottom club this season. Makes sense. Finished sixth and then came up through the playoffs. It's a reasonable bet, isn't it? That they'll struggle a bit. Versus Sevilla, for the first time, Terry, that I can ever remember following La Liga, Sevilla have done almost no business, have they? So obviously Lamela coming in. Hill's gone, but he wasn't playing for them anyway. So actual stability at Sevilla, unheard of.
Exactly. And my prediction was, I was tossing up between Atletico and Sevilla to win the league. Again, because I think it's been a less dramatic summer, you know, for Sevilla compared to Barcelona and Real Madrid. And it's something that Sevilla don't normally have. And I think importantly for Sevilla, so far, with weeks to go, the transfer window still, they've kept the players they want to keep. Mm. So that's what normally leads to the turbulence, isn't it, at Sevilla? You know, Koundé could have been one this season, could still be. Diego Carlos could have been one that moved on again, still could be. But at the moment, they're managing to keep the players. Probably the reason why they sold Brian Hill, which enabled them then not to need, they don't have the need to sell, raise cash. That's been the way that club has been run in the past. I think we're getting closer now to a stage at Sevilla where they don't have to keep selling and regenerating the cash and then going out and buying a player and doing exactly the same again. So I thought they underachieved last year. I know it's harsh, but I think they're capable of doing better this season.
Villarreal against Granada, which is a Monday game. I think we're going to do a podcast Monday, by the way, everybody. So Villarreal, I thought, you know, look at Chelsea's resources. You look at what you were saying earlier, Terry, about how much money Chelsea have got players on the bench. Villarreal look very comfortable playing against them, didn't they? Yeah. They're you know, and I think they've done a nice bit of business, nothing spectacular. I've literally forgotten the name of the guy, the winger they signed. But most of the business they've done, Boulay.
I think he looked good.
Yeah.
I thought he looked really good. And I think Issa Mendy, despite missing the penalty, don't trust centre-backs with penalties. Harry Maguire took the best penalty of England's in the gym.
But how foot for it, deadly were they against...
Albiol scored in the one against Man United.
Yeah, but how deadly were they against Man United? Then suddenly...
I was joking.
...put it all up. Anyway. But as a team, I think they look good. It's hard to predict them where they will finish in the league because... that's an Emery's record, isn't it? It's he'll be looking at cups. He'll be trying to win cups, and I would say good luck.
Champions League will take its toll.
And Champions League
on Villarreal.
That's
not the Europa League now. And I think the Europa League run last year meant that they finished in seventh, and I think the Champions League could take its toll again. They're already interestingly missing injured players against Chelsea as well. Danny Parejo, no Chukwueze. Paco Alcacer was on the bench and didn't get on, which I found surprising. So I think there's. They're going to have to be careful. It's not the biggest of squads. I'm slightly surprised with Issa Mendy going there, if I'm being honest. Free transfer. But I think Albiol and Pau Torres will play, if they're fit, most of the games. So he's left the place where he was an important player at Betis. And I'm surprised if Betis couldn't compete regarding salary with Villarreal. But I think it's a good signing from Villarreal. A better backup centre-back than they had in the past. So I think it's going to be tough for Villarreal on the I'm alluding to my prediction on the league table, but I think they'll do okay in the Champions League, but it takes its toll on the Liga form.
Against Granada, of course, who we remain to be convinced. So we'll see how Robert Moreno gets on. There's no real experience of managing a club team. Obviously,
not too many players have left though. And I looked at the proposed team it looks similar to last year. So I would imagine, again, he would be wise enough to know not to change the system, not to come in and change everything in one fell swoop. So continuity is key, I think, there. And I think he's the type of coach. We saw enough with him with Spain. They play a similar type of football to what he likes to play. So I don't envisage any problems with Granada this season.
Elche against Athletic. Athletic, again, everyone's got Athletic. Where are we? Between 7th and 9th, 10th. That's where all the predictions are.
I've got them higher.
You would have thought. Well, I would have thought.
Yeah.
This is such an opportunity for them, isn't it? Because they are the most stable football club that exists because all their players come through the ranks or are signed from local rivals. So they're not, they're just not out there on the ocean being buffeted around like everybody else. So you think this is a real opportunity for Athletic, isn't it?
And I think there was enough last season when Marcelino took over. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't brilliant by any means, but they've come harder to beat and I saw signs that we know that he can't go out in the transfer market and make changes, but we do get new young players every season from Athletic Club. And I've gone for them in fifth this season because they haven't got the distraction of playing European football. And I think we saw enough improvement under Marcelino. And I have enough faith and trust in him that we're, you know, starting again from the beginning of the season, that he can take them, make them still hard to beat, you know, and come up with the right coaching systems, the right technical systems to enable them to not blast teams away. I'm hoping there's going to be more from Iñaki Williams in terms of goal scoring this season. So I've gone for a bright season for Athletic Club. I've gone for them in fifth position.
Because
competitors around them are going to be playing European football. So as we stand there, Athletic Club have got 38 league games and a Copa del Rey.
Yeah.
So I think that will suit them this season. I would be surprised if they're not higher than they were significantly than last season.
And obviously Barcelona versus Real Sociedad is a big game this weekend. Terry, we don't talk about Barcelona enough, do we, on this podcast?
No.
Right, who's going to play?
Just make a note. Who's still there and who's not? Who's there but can't play?
So apparently Emerson can play. He was able to be registered, something to do with his shared ownership that they already had when he was at Betis. Don't understand.
Yes. No.
Don't know why I would. I'm not a lawyer. Aguero... So definitely not playing because he's injured.
Yeah.
Are they paying him? We don't know whether they're paying him. So it would seem Eric Garcia, as you and I have said, it's a little bit, so what if he's not playing? He's not playing. Depay is the one that they would want to play. And
yes,
would seem, unless something dramatic happens, that they're not going to be able to register him.
Yeah.
By when?
That makes it impossible to predict the team, doesn't it? Yeah. Imagine being Ronald Koeman.
Yeah.
And I talked about a club having an unsettled pre-season. He's taken it to the nth degree with him. He's got players that are playing in pre-season and training. And no one knows whether Memphis Depay can play.
Yeah. I guess not. I
wouldn't imagine so.
Yeah.
No.
What is going to happen that can make him play? They had to lose Messi. And they said that even without Messi, they're still way over the wage budget. So how can you add Memphis Depay in? Before the end of this month, unless something happens, that he can't, can he?
No. So it's hard to predict who's going to be playing for Barcelona.
Yeah, except Pedri in most positions.
Yeah, well, do you know what? we're talking about this. How do you use these players? Now, a lot of players have played in the Olympics is the main one, isn't it? But if you played in the European Championships and the Olympics, that's a whole new ball game.
Yeah.
Pau Torres came back and played. I would do the same with Pedri. I know he played 73 last season. My plan for Pedri would be to make the most of a player now that he's match fit, because the rest of his teammates won't be. You're not. Pre-season is one thing. Playing games and starting the league campaign is completely different. You need 3 or 4 games to get up to speed, to get back on track, to get that momentum going and that rhythm going. So I would make the most of these players that, you know, were playing in the Olympics last weekend. But then I would definitely, if I was Barcelona, look for a spell in the season. And it does come. I've looked. I think it's September, late September, early October, where there are 3 or 4 games that I believe they could do without Pedri. That's what I would do. It'd be a waste now to let him go away on holiday, to have 2 weeks off, 2 weeks to come back, a 3 or 4 week break between playing games and then starting the season again. I think make the most of those players that are match fit, that are up to speed, and then look to rest them, properly, not just for one game. It has to be, I mean, Pedri can go on a Club 1830 holiday now he's old enough. Are they still about? I don't know. To a green list country. But no, genuinely, send him away on holiday. He can tick over while he's away, come back another week's training, 3 weeks off, back into, and hopefully then for the season, he's okay to play another 60, 70, 80 games again. But it is a difficult one. And I think Barcelona, their need for him is now, bearing in mind their situation. So that's what I would do if I was Barcelona. Other players, I mean, Cucurella is playing for Getafe probably on Friday night after playing in the Olympics last week. Rafa Mir will continue playing, but they didn't play 73 games. Pau Torres did, played for Spain at the European Championships, the Olympics. Pedri, I think they're the two obvious ones, aren't they? Dani Olmo, but he's not in La Liga. So I would look for a proper plan to make the most of them being fit now, match fit, but then September, October, give them a three-week break and, you know, make sure that they're not at the club, they're not hanging around, because we know what Pedri's like. He'd be knocking around Barcelona, the Camp Nou, when he'd still be turning up for training. He'd be kicking a ball up against the wall. He'd be, you know, you've got to get him away from the club and, you know, make sure that he does get a proper break.
So what do you think this game then? I know it's hard to predict.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Real Sociedad, it's easier for us to assess them, isn't it?
Mm.
Good team, are getting better, you know, and this will be a genuine test. Barcelona's start is pretty tough, to be honest. And this is a tough game for them to start with. I still have faith in Barcelona being good enough this season. There's a lot I'm looking forward to. I would prefer Messi to be in La Liga, prefer to be watching him every week and us talking about him on the podcast. But I'm intrigued in what happens now with, when you look at the rest of their players, they are very good players. They still have a collection of very good footballers. I mean, you look at the players up front they've got, they're all very good players. Now, they feel they've got to embrace the responsibility of playing without Messi. And some might thrive in it. Because we've seen the system, give the ball to Messi. If there's a, you know, in the attacking third of the pitch, just look up. I mean, I have no idea where Jordi Alba's going to pass to now. But jokingly aside, it was a system that served Barcelona fantastically well. But he's going to have to find other options. So, and Koeman's going to have to find the right options to play in attack. They've got to be better defensively. They probably will be more dynamic in terms of winning the ball back in attacking positions. Can Antoine Griezmann, you know, rise to the occasion? You know, Aguero, Dembele, Antoine Griezmann, Ansu Fati, Coutinho, we've written him off. I'm not sure he's going to play because they owe $200 million to Liverpool if he plays another 5 minutes, something ridiculous like that. So it's going to be, it's fascinating to watch. I still think the young Busquets, Pedri, it's got some fantastic players. But it is obviously going to be different. How are the players going to react? They didn't win big games last year. I mean, that's what Messi has done for them in the past. Yes. They didn't do that last year. So they need to be better. They need to be better tactically, technically in the big games. They need to be a different team, to be perfectly honest. And I think that's it's going to be, I don't know what we're going to learn from them this weekend because it's all so untidy. But I think we're going to learn a lot throughout the season. And everybody's written off La Liga. Everybody's written off Barcelona. I'm really looking forward to this season. Really looking forward. Can't wait for the game tonight. Intriguing start. Valencia, Getafe. I know we keep using that word intriguing, but I'm excited for it as well. I must be honest. I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm sick to death of watching pre-season friendlies with millions of subs and players pulling out tackles and, you know, players playing in weird positions and managers trying out systems and stuff like that and not wanting to give away too much on their set pieces. I can't wait for the real action.
Right. So here's the moment of truth then, Terry. So everyone join in. So at Driscoll FC, if you want to send me them on Twitter or if you're a Patreon, just send it on Patreon, please, if you're a Patreon. And it's only from €3, $3 a month. It's about £2.50 a month it works out. If you're
are we deferring payment?
Yeah. Gives it over.
Defer payment.
Gives it over 5 years.
We're going to get a credit company involved to pay us up front.
Give away our rights. I would for like a, 2.7 million quid. I'll sell the rights for forever.
And we're working from home.
Yeah. So, Atletico Madrid, you're putting top, as expected. Sevilla, you got second?
Second, yes.
Yeah? Right, I'm going to guess you've got Real Madrid in third.
No, Barcelona,
but Real Madrid. I'd have gone the other way, I understand. Right, and then, so, and then, go on. Yeah,
Athletic, fifth.
Yeah, Athletic, yeah. Yeah,
Real Sociedad, six.
Yeah, that's, yeah, good old Real Sociedad.
Betis, seventh.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Villarreal, eighth.
Yeah.
Celta, ninth.
Okay, so just give us a sentence on Celta, because it's, again, I've used this word before, stability, you would hope, finally, yes, wouldn't you? You know, a full season, not an awful lot of business done. A coach who was there in Cadet, who did well last season, now having a full crack at it. So, yeah, I think lots of people have gone for the mid-table, actually.
Yep, I might have gone higher if they had a bigger squad.
Right, yeah.
That was the reason why I placed them behind Villarreal, Betis, Real Sociedad and Athletic. Then I've gone for Osasuna in 10th.
Yeah.
Don't see any reason why we would consider Osasuna to be a bottom half of the table team now. Then I've gone Granada in 11th.
Okay.
Levante 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Levante will be Levante. They'll all out attack. They'll win 10 games. They've got enough draws and they won't even flirt with relegation. Getafe.
Okay. I'd want to pick Getafe, aren't they? Yeah. I think we've got a real range for them. Yeah. Yeah, go on.
Mallorca.
Okay. Oh, right. So that's quite confident, yeah.
Yep. I like the business they've done from Mallorca. And then Espanyol. Those two, I was tying with the idea of swapping them around. Mm-hmm. So nothing dramatic, nothing drastic there in terms of where they finished. Then I've gone Valencia.
Oh, blind. That is low, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I considered lower.
Right.
Then Elche to finish just above the relegation zone. And then Cadiz, Alaves, Rayo.
Yeah.
Bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. So Cadiz, you think it's they can't carry on. They can't carry on winning games
without the ball.
17 touches of the ball and a 2-0 win at the Bernabeu or something. Yeah.
And an aging Negredo leading the line.
Yeah.
Haven't made too many transfer signings, and the second half of they thrived last year because they had an outstanding first half of the season. But they're hard to beat, they're hard to score against. But I think it's going to be tough going for them. Likewise, Alaves, I don't think Alaves have done enough yet in the transfer market to suggest they're going to be drastically different, despite Calleja doing a good job of them at the end of last season. They rely on individuals. Rioja played really well under Calleja. Edgar Mendes played really well. Hoselu is, you know, important player. So I think they might struggle again. And Rayo, just logically, you know, the team that comes up in the playoffs, does struggle. But pleased to see Andoni Iraola back in La Liga, this time as a manager, as opposed to being a legend at Athletic Club. So there's so many reasons why I'm looking forward to this season again.
Yeah, brilliant. Football's back. It's hardly been away because I've watched a lot of the Euros. I watched a lot of the Euros and they commentated on a fair bit of the Olympics. But there's nothing like back in the league, is there?
No.
Back in the slog all the way through. There's nothing like the ebbs and flows and the long battle of a league season that really separates out, that you really find out the best team at the end of the season, and over the course of it. Like, you know,
we get trials and tribulations, we get disasters for some clubs, don't we? Where everything's a crisis. Real Madrid and Barcelona not winning a game is a crisis, but right throughout the leagues, you know, teams are in crisis, but half the managers in this league are probably going to lose their job, not being pessimistic. Half the managers in this league are going to be under pressure to keep their job. There might be a team in a relegation battle we didn't expect. A team that does really well to start the season. Cadiz beating Real Madrid in Barcelona early on in last season was a huge shock. So thrills and spills galore. And I'm so looking forward to the opening game this evening.
Right, enjoy the game, everybody. We'll be back on Monday with a, with another podcast, hopefully with a special guest of Colin Miller, who's a highly acclaimed author and European football writer, but he's got a new job. So hopefully he'll be able to join us and we'll be able to assess the first week, or at least the first eight games, because obviously the game's Monday night as well. But we'll be back to have a look back at the first weekend of the La Liga season. And so we'll see you all for that.
Rest assured, I'm watching all 10 games this weekend.
Oh, you are? Right.
Okay. I'm on La Liga TV on Sunday night to round them all up.
Oh, are you? Right. So okay.
I'm on duty from tonight, all tomorrow, all Sunday. So I think it's on about this. I finish at 1:30 in the morning, Spanish time. So 12:30 here from 11 till 12:30 on La Liga TV on Sunday night. So I promise you, when we discuss the podcast, I would have watched all 10.
And only a certain amount of that programme will be Terry spelling the names of footballers.
How many times a year do we write down players' names? It's the easiest quiz in the world for us. I mean, and Nesiri, how many times this season do we write that down? And you're doing the games and doing podcasts and stuff. So
there we are.
They were naive.
Right. Enjoy the football, everybody. And we'll see you again, certainly early part of next week. We'll see you for that. Bye-bye.